Father's Day can bring us a lot of good emotions and good memories, but at the same time, it can be hard for many of us. We may remember the good, but we also remember the hard times, don't we? Depending on our fathers and what they were like, or even fathers in this room, I know how you feel often. How you feel the weight of this world. You feel the weight of what it means that your calling as a father is to reflect the Father God. And when we think that way, often what happens? Do we focus on the good? Do we focus on the encouragement? No, often we focus on the ways that we are failing. Why am I not where I want to be financially? Why did I make this mistake? Why did I lose it on my kids? What is wrong with me? You can be stuck in this loop of brokenness, of your failures. So if that is you, and you're in this place of discouragement, what do you need to know today on this Father's Day? I want you to hear this. This is what you need to know. That your imperfections, your flaws, they are real, 100%. But they can point to the perfect and flawless Father. The question is, will you point others to that perfect Father, despite your imperfections, despite your flaws? And yes, like I said, there is a tremendously high calling on your life to reflect the Father of heaven. Now, what do you do? How do you do it? With the brokenness you experience, listen to this. You need to know this, that to reflect the Father in heaven, you need to know Him deeply and actively follow Him. To reflect the perfect Father in heaven, you need to know Him deeply and actively follow Him. Today in our sermon, I've called it this simple, that your God knows, your Father knows. And this comes from Matthew 6, verse 32. And why is this so important? Because the goal today is for you to see and know who your perfect Father is. Because if you don't see it, how do you follow Him? And in Matthew, I love Matthew. Do you guys remember what happens in Matthew 5 and 6? Do you remember? Beautiful. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, Jesus starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. All of them. So beautiful. And what scholars believe is happening is Matthew 5, at the very beginning, is actually Jesus Christ revealing the full revelation of God's law. How do we see this? You know, Jesus describes, if you have lusted over someone in your heart, you have committed adultery. Does that sound familiar? If you have been angry against a brother, you have already committed murder. See, Jesus is giving us the full revelation of the law in Matthew 5. Now, what is Jesus doing in Matthew 6, what we're reading today? In Matthew 6, Jesus has shown us the full revelation of the law. Now He shows us the full revelation of our relationship with God. And what does He start off with in Matthew 6? The Lord's Prayer. What are the first couple of words? Our Father who art in heaven. What's the key word? Father. Father. Why is that so important? Because Jesus changes the paradigm of how we should see God for who He really is. And so as I dig into this, Matthew 6, 32, I'm going to read you this verse, the latter part of it, just one verse, and we're going to look at this together. Look at Matthew 6, 32, if you have that. The last part of it, the last sentence. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The first thing I want you to see, the first emphasis, is that second word. And your. Your. What we see here is that your Father is inseparable to you. Your inseparable Father. Now, how do we see this? Look at the first word, your. What is it implying? It's implying that you have possession. You have possession of this Father, that He is yours, your Father. Now, why is that such a game changer? How do we perceive God usually? Many of us, we perceive God as some kind of watchmaker who creates this beautiful watch that's complicated. and then he just sets it and forgets it and abandons us. You think like that? I used to. Maybe you grew up with a father who did abandon you. I did. Or another way we can think of this father is we can just assume that he's just some power-tripping, oppressive leader. Have you experienced that? You see, even in the Roman Empire, in the Roman culture, they had something called the patria potestas. It was a legal term that the father of the household had full rights over every person in that house. And when I mean full rights, I mean completely. He could choose to not only disown his children, but to sell them as slaves, his own biological children. This role, this power of the father, meant that if life or death, if they so choose to have their children killed, they had the power to do so. So everything was a power trip. Everything was about kowtowing to this father figure. Do you think of God like that? Do you think he's just some transactional God that you have to manipulate, that you have to do more and do more for him to keep you in the household? This is where the game changes. This is where the paradigm shifts. We see this, that Jesus shows us that he is your heavenly Father. He is yours. There's possession that he belongs to you as much as you belong to him. No one expected this. No one saw it coming. And as we see Jesus, of course, we want to see his life and how he understood the Father. What is the name that Christ calls the Father in heaven? Do you know what it is? Abba. Abba. You see, what we miss in the English is this, that Abba is an Aramaic term. And it was very purposeful. Because, of course, during the time of Jesus, everyone spoke Greek, right? Because the Roman Empire was in power. And like I told you, this Roman Empire had this culture of the power of the Father. Life or death over his own children. But Jesus changes the script. He calls the Father Abba. And Abba was a phrase that was not only intimate and deep and relational, but it was full of respect. It was beyond just a small child calling their father daddy. And Jesus would refer to God as Abba. You know, back then slaves were not permitted to call their masters Abba because the implication of using Abba was that there was an intimate relationship. As you can imagine with the slave, that's not possible. Our Father is the Abba Father, and he is yours. The implication is this, that the fact that you can have a relationship with the Father means that you can seek him. You can go to him, and he wants you to. This Father wants you to come to him. You see, in Jesus Christ, everything changes. Because Jesus is the one who is perfect, who died on the cross for our sins, who resurrected from the dead. You know what happened when Jesus resurrected? You know what happens when you put your faith in Jesus Christ? You become what? A son of God, a daughter of God. You are adopted by this perfect Father. This is your Father who can never be separated from you. Why? Because he won't do it. You might be sitting there and asking yourself the question, then why does he feel so far? Where is God? Why does he feel so far away? Now here is the reality. The problem is us. We're the ones that run from him. We're the ones that allow ourselves to get too busy, get too distracted. The moment we stop running and look to him, we realize that he was there the whole time, our Abba Father. Do you know this Father? Do you follow this Father? My daughter, Eden, I have three daughters. Can you imagine that? And all three of my daughters, what was their first word? Take a guess. Dada. That's right, Dada. And my daughter, Eden, is the chunkiest of the babies. Okay, she's almost 11 months now. Can you believe it? And I love those rolls. You know what I mean? Cute baby. I just gotta get that baby and just give her a good stiff. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean. Now, here's the thing about Eden. What sets her apart from my other girls? It's the way she looks at me. My wife can testify to this. she looks at me in such a way that she's like almost surprised I'm in the room. There's this bit of awe on her face and a slight smile. Oh, it feels so good. But I know, right? Parents, I know this is true, that look changes, okay? The way she sees me is going to change. Maybe in the future, quite a few years later, there'll be a little more eye rolling. I'm not going to be the cool dad. I do promise my children I will keep them humble by embarrassing them. Yeah, that's the role of a parent. I know the way she's going to look at me is going to change. But the way I look at her, that never changes. The way I look at her, she's always that precious baby that looks at me no matter what. And I can't control her life. All my girls, I can't pick what they end up doing for work if they want to do a career. I can't pick who they choose to marry if they so choose to be married. I can't control that. You know that, parents. But one thing, without a doubt, no matter the decisions they make in life, I will be their father. Nothing can separate me from them. Do you know this father? Do you know this perfect father? Your inseparable father. Do you know him? Because nothing can separate you from him. Now let's look at this other part of it. We've seen how he's the inseparable father. I want you to see this, that he's your flawless father. He is your flawless father. How do we see this? Look at the words. What are the next two words? And your heavenly father. Your heavenly father. See, Jesus is so intentional to help us look past the human failures, the human error, to show us that the Father in heaven is the heavenly Father, not the earthly. Now, what's the implication? That he's not impacted. The heavenly Father is not impacted by trauma, by his environment, by brokenness, because he is perfect and pure. Can you imagine that? You have a perfect Father. You have it. You have him. He's yours. Now, what's the implication as well? If he is the heavenly Father, what does that mean for us here and our fathers? That these are earthly fathers. Heavenly Father and earthly fathers. Now, if the implication is that the perfect Father is perfect, now what does that mean for us as earthly? We are broken. We are fallen. We're far from perfect. We're tainted. And for many of us, this broken world has shaped us, hasn't it? The families we grew up in, the past, the trauma we experience. This broken world continues to shape us, doesn't it? Our circumstances change. You may lose your job. You may make a terrible financial decision. Your circumstances change. And what else? It's our own brokenness. Our own pride. Our own anger. How many of us struggle with those two things? Our lust. That is our brokenness. Now what? If you said, Brian, you started this whole thing about telling us how fathers are so hard on themselves. Now what? Why are you bringing this up? Because it's this. Don't you realize? Don't you see that it's your brokenness? It's your flaws that actually have a purpose and a reason, that they point to the perfect Father. Your brokenness has purpose. Now, how does that show? I think it shows in two ways. If you are imperfect and flawless, the obvious way that it points to the Father that we all know is this. That everyone in our lives know. He's obviously broken. That's what I would never do. That's the obvious way that our flaws point to the perfect Father. Because we are so broken, the people in our lives, our children, think to themselves, I will never be like him. How many of us in this room responded to our parents the same way? That we see the way our parents are broken, that we see the way they treat one another, we see the way they treat us, and we think to ourselves, I'll never be like that. See, that's when our sin and our brokenness is so obvious. It shows us what not to do. Now, here's the way I think we miss it. There's a second way that our flaws and our brokenness have purpose, and it's this, is that you can choose to show everyone in your life who to turn to. Not just what not to be, but who to turn to. And it's this. If you are a man of God, and you meet the reality of your brokenness, it also means this, that you know the perfect Father, and you know in the Father is grace, and grace abundantly. So what that means for you is this, when you fail and you will fail, when you are broken, when your circumstance change and you let go and you lose it on your kids, you make some terrible decisions, guess what? You have the chance to point them to the perfect Father. You have the chance to say to them, I am broken and I am imperfect, but let me tell you, I need grace from the Father in heaven. You see what I'm saying? There is something beautiful when a man of God knows that he can only turn to one person who is the source of grace. And when that man does that, that changes everything. That when he fails, he owns it. And when he owns it, he knows to go to his children and say, I lost it on you and I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive Daddy? That when you fail your wife, that you can own up to it and go to your wife and say, I need grace and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if every man in this room knew the source of grace and knew to ask for forgiveness? How would that change everything? You see, I grew up in a home where I had none of that. I grew up in a home of complete brokenness. But things change now. Things change now. Recently, I was having lunch with a cousin of mine. He's a real busy guy, works at one of the top consulting agencies in New York City. So whenever he flies in, he shoots me a quick message. And okay, let's go to lunch. And so we go to lunch and we're talking about old times. And he was a single child. So me and my sister, we grew up with him in many ways like a sibling. And we laughed. We talked about how I was such a brat, man, when we play that mouse trap game. You know that board game? If I was losing, I would just throw the whole thing around. I was a brat. And then our conversation went from light to a little bit heavy. We started looking at the past, talking about things that we remember. And I told him how it was hard growing up with my father. He was an angry man, a violent man. And I always ask the question, was it me? Was it me? Did I do something wrong as to why he's so angry at me? Was it my fault that my father ran off with the secretary? Is it my fault that year after year after year, after my parents split up, I saw him less and less and less? Was it me? Was it me? Soon after, he would tell me, hey, do you know what happened to our grandfather? I said, no. I learned that my grandfather had gone through some terrible, terrible things. He saw things that he should have never seen as a child during the war. And then I learned that my father had a very angry, very mean father himself. I realized this at that moment. Redemption begins now. This general trauma, this generational trauma can stop now. And it does. Because I know the Father in heaven, because I have the perfect Father, I don't need to continue that way. Because I know who is good and who is holy, I can choose to give grace to my children because I need grace myself. So the Father's Day gift I can give you is this. You will never be perfect fathers. You will never be. And you will fail. That's a reality. But let that pressure come off of you. Because when you fail, you will be humiliated and you will be embarrassed. But will you turn to the perfect Father? And will you know that in the Father is complete grace? Because He is your Abba Father. Redemption begins now. So when your children fail, and they will fail just like you are imperfect, that you show them who to turn to. You show them what it means to turn to the Father in heaven because He is there. You show them what it means to seek forgiveness, to be humble, to apologize, to own your stuff. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the transformation in your own families? the next generation after you. If trauma can damage generation after generation, can you imagine the transformation of grace after grace after grace? That's what you're called to. Fathers, that's what you're called to. Do you know this Father? And will you follow Him? Of course, we see that this is our inseparable Father, our flawless Father. I want you to see this now, that He is your mindful Father. Your mindful Father, where do we see this? And it says this, of course, in 32, and your heavenly Father, what? He knows what? He knows that you need them all. What is this being spoken of? What's going on exactly? You see, in this passage, the immediate context of this passage is it's one of my favorites in the Bible. If you were going to memorize a block of verses, this is where I would begin. Matthew 6, 25, all the way to 34. Why is that? Because it's all about how God provides for every one of your needs. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. That all you need to do is seek the Heavenly Father. Why? Because whatever you eat or whatever you drink or whatever you wear, it's a reality. You need these things, but the Heavenly Father will provide for you. That's what these verses are telling you. And when it says right here that He's our mindful Father, it says He knows that you need them all. He knows that you need all these things. What does that imply? He knows you. He knows you. He knows the many times that you stay up all night because you're so stressed about the things you've done or the things you should do. This Father knows every part of your life, your past, your trauma, your addictions. He knows it all. He knows you and exactly what you need, whether material or whether spiritual. He will provide for you because He is the perfect Father. Did you grow up with a father who never provided? Who abandoned you and your mom, maybe? Left you guys behind? That is not our perfect Father. Our perfect Father is one that provides completely, that even knows every one of your needs. And in Matthew 6, 8, a couple verses up, it's almost the exact same verse as we're reading now. And it says this. It says that your Father knows. Your Father knows, and when you pray, He knows your needs. And it got me asking the question, why would we pray to someone who knows our needs? If He already knows what I need, then why do I need to pray about it? You see, as a father, when my children ask me for things, when they ask me for my help, I will gladly do it. It brings me joy. Do you not realize that the implication that if it's telling you that this Father in heaven who knows every one of your needs still asks you to come to Him, He enjoys your presence. He enjoys you. Do you know this perfect Father who not only knows you but enjoys you? Do you enjoy His presence? Because He invites you. He invites you to come forward to Him. That fills my tank, doesn't it? When my kids need me. Maybe you're an aunt or an uncle. Maybe you've worked in children's ministry. Maybe you don't have kids yourself, but you know what it's like when you work with kids and they show their appreciation to you. When you help them and they maybe give you a little hug or they just even say thank you. What a blessing it is, isn't it? You see, this world needs much, much more spiritual leaders, spiritual fathers. The world needs you. And I want to preface this. Yes, there are many here who sit here with biological children of their own, and they're called to a high calling. Don't you see? You are called to this too. You are called to be a reflection of the perfect Father in your life. If a biological father has the opportunity to completely transform the generational trauma in their lives, you can too, through grace. You can transform others through grace. This is the beautiful calling that God has over your life, to reflect Him, even with all your imperfections, to turn others to Him. In my life, I have a spiritual father who adopted me, and he means so much to me. Why is that? Because recently I was just thinking about this, preparing the sermon with my wife. Often I ask her questions because she's way smarter than I am, trust me. And she said, hey, what about Larry? I'm like, what do you mean, Larry? Your spiritual father. And it hit me. My own father wasn't there for my wedding day, but he was. Recently, when I was tired and exhausted, I chose to go and see him. And he was waiting for me at that airport, arms wide open. He treated me, of course, like a son all weekend. He was offended when I paid the bill. He said, man, you're my son. What are you doing? He transformed my understanding of what the Father in heaven is like. You can do that. You see, one of the ways that God provides for those who need a father figure is by sending you. Will you reflect the heavenly Father? You see, one of the hard things that I struggle with this is I say to myself, God, how do you use someone like me? Lord, you know exactly what I've done. You know all the mistakes I make. You know my thoughts. You know all that I've done, and you still use me? How is that possible? And the image I can't get out of my head, it's like a broken mirror. When a mirror is shattered, it's in pieces. But when you gather all those pieces, you bring them together with all their shards and brokenness, they still reflect the person on the other side. You have the opportunity to reflect the perfect Father. And you can choose to do so by grace. By grace. By knowing His grace. By following His steps of being a present and loving and providing and knowing Father in heaven. And I've said many times, you will have your flaws and you will fail them, but will you teach them? Show them. Run to Him. Run to the Father. Will you model that? Will you be someone that they remember, that ran to the Father? There's this podcast I was listening to, and it was the description of someone who grew up as a pastor's son. And this pastor's son, I mean, you can imagine, my children will be pastor's children. I know what people think of pastor's children. I know how hard it is. I know the sacrifice that my own children will have to make in terms of ministry. But what's interesting is this, that the son said this, I remember my father's apologies more than I remember his mistakes. You have the chance. You have the chance to bring redemption and change to your family. So when you feel the weight of your failure, when you feel the weight of your sin, turn to the Father, the perfect Father. Show everyone in your life that they can do the same. Because you will never be perfect. But what you are called to do is to follow the one who is perfect. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Father who has not abandoned us. You are the Father who is not oppressive. But you are God the Father who sent God the Son to die on the cross, to be resurrected, to make us perfect, to make us whole. Lord, I pray that brings us freedom. I pray, Lord, you bring change. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a generation of men who know the grace of God and can humbly come before you and others. Transform us, Lord. Bless our families, Lord. Only you can do that. We pray this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.